The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The first thing I want to talk about is Father Ted.
Dougal, look.
I am Chinese, if you please. Come on, Dougal, lighten up. Dougal, there were Chinese people there.
All right, yeah.
I mean,
that's the Yin family. They're living over there in that old Chinatown area.
Chinatown area? There's a Chinatown on Craggy Island? Dougal, I wouldn't have done a Chinaman impression if I'd known there was going to be a Chinaman there to see me doing a Chinaman impression.
Why not, Ted?
Because it's racist.
Well, even Father Ted himself thought it was racist, and it means that Channel 4 are placing a trigger warning on this episode, and when you watch it in the future on their streaming platforms, it will say it was made in 1998 and it contains language and racial impersonation which some viewers may find offensive. Ian O'Doherty is a columnist with the Irish Independent. Ian, are you glad you won't be offended after reading said trigger warning?
Well, I have to say, I think you failed in your duty of care to your listeners by not giving them the appropriate trigger warning before you played.
I should have done it first, shouldn't I? I've got it all wrong. Yes. I did the trigger warning afterwards.
Yes, you need to apologise to the nation. I'm going to have a little cry and a little lie down after being exposed to that. Trigger warnings have become a very interesting aspect of modern society, and they've infected everywhere from theatres and movies to TV. With the warning that's gone out ahead of Father Ted, the ABC network in Australia, they dropped that episode in its entirety. And Graham Linehan, one of the writers, I mean, he was saying, like, I mean, they wrote an anti-racist episode and now it's being described as racist. And we can kind of laugh at them because you have to laugh in the face of such absurdity. I mean, there's an archaeology course in the University of Sussex in England that warns students that they may encounter bones, you know, which you'd kind of expect. You know, if you're an archaeologist and you're afraid of bones, well, then maybe just try and become a bus driver or something, you know. And it's part of the infantilization of society where we're all being treated as very fragile, very delicate children who can be basically just emotionally traumatized by seeing something that they don't like. And what we're doing is that we're not, by sheltering people, you're just making things worse. Because ironically, and there have been numerous surveys about this, that the more people see trigger warnings, the more they expect to be kind of shocked or offended, because it's kind of setting them up. You know, but what I find, I mean, the actor Ralph Fiennes and stuff, he was very good. He was saying that, I mean, when he goes to the theatre, he wants to be shocked, you know. And, I mean, they were putting trigger warnings in front of things like Titus Andronicus, you know, which is fairly gruesome plays, you know. And then they're even putting trigger warnings in front of Romeo and Juliet and saying that, you know, contains scenes of suicide and things.
God, don't give away and the end, Jesus.
Well, it's been out for a couple of years now at this stage, Kieran. I think most people.
Yeah, but
know
I was waiting until it came onto TV to watch it.
Yeah. But no, it's part of what I call the dumbification of society, where it's, on the one hand, you have this very patrician kind of value of we must protect these people from their own feelings, and then on the other hand, you have this very submissive section on society who demand that they are also protected from their feelings. And I think it goes back to, in many ways, the kind of safety-first culture that has taken over for the last 20 years, maybe, of sort of helicopter parents and not allowing kids to go out and make their own mistakes and stuff like that. And it's one of the things that I found, for example, even during lockdown, I wrote a piece saying that lockdown was absolutely killing the economy, that it was madness, that we all needed to go back up and get up and running and stuff, and that we were just, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot. And what I found amazing about that was that got a lot of blowback because, do you remember, there was a really weird air of hysteria doing the rounds at the time. But a lot of the blowback came from young people who basically wanted to be told what to do, and they wanted guidance. Whereas, you know, I'm like sort of Gen X. I mean, we were let out in the mornings and we didn't come back in until the evening. So for my generation, this just seems completely alien because I wanted less protection, not more.
Mm.
And I still do, you know.
Yeah, Ciara Lawless is with us as well, the singer and songwriter. Ciara, is there a time and a place for some version of a trigger warning or some editing of material from the past?
Well, you know what I think is happening actually in Ireland, and you see this emergence of it really. We are becoming a nation now where we're diving into the world of mental health. We're diving into the world of our emotions. And speaking from the position of being a musician, I'm one of those people who would be full of emotions. But I think that there has to be a fine balance in between. You know, Ireland, we're a culture of comedy, and we're a culture in terms of the way we deliver a message a lot of the time is through comedy. And I think when it comes to words, I know at the moment now when it comes to songs like Fairy Tale of New York, some of the lyrics in that have been changed because it may be triggering for different groups of people who do not necessarily agree with those lyrics, because over time, the trend of language, the language of economics, everything is changing. And so, like, for example, a word like freaky back in the day, my parents would have, if you had said someone was freaky, it meant they were quirky or they were unusual. Now there's a sexual connotation attached to that word. So everything is constantly changing. I will say growing up in rural Ireland, definitely grew up a lot more sheltered. And, you know, we would have grown up with Pat Short and, you know, Father Ted would have been a big favourite in the house, you know, watching it in the evenings. But then when I talk to my friends from the city, they have a total different view and perspective on that. And they may have been removed from, you know, that part of culture for them. It may not have resonated with them. And they have a different, when they look at those words, they don't understand. From that generation, it had a difference. There was a more of a lightheartedness to it. And it wasn't meant maybe in the way that it means today. I do think as well, there's a certain amount to be said about, you know, our delivery. You know, if you're talking to someone on the phone, when you're taught, like, engaging with them, a certain word, a certain way you deliver a word. We're devils in Ireland for delivering insults to friends. Like, that's a big thing, you know, people complimenting each other. It's like, oh, you don't, you know, you look shit. That means you look great. And I think that's definitely a thing that's continued into modern generations. So I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that all of the younger generations, I'm Gen Z, but not all of us are very easily offended by words. I think it really lies into the intention behind something and the delivery of something and the sincerity in which you deliver something.
Do you know, Ian, there's this cohort in society, and that they've always existed and they will always exist, the kind of the book burners amongst us, you know, who would seek to completely restrict our access to, you know, kind of certain pieces of information or books or bits of entertainment or what have you. Is there an argument that at least the trigger warning kind of neuters them to a degree, Ian? You know, it's kind of falls short of burning the book, but you put an extra page in and everyone can read it anyway. Sorry, go on, Ian. And Ciara, I'll come back to you. Go on.
No, I completely disagree. The whole point of literature, the whole point of art, is to be surprised and to be shocked. And, excuse me, it's something that, I mean, I always thought that the changing of the lyrics in Fairy Tale New York was just an act of cultural vandalism against what's widely regarded as Shane McGann's masterpiece. And what we need to get back into is a society that says, well, if you're offended or if you don't like it, tough. Basically tough, you know. And it's, I've been on with you before talking about the whole strange culture of offence that now people have, as if somehow saying I'm offended is an argument. No, it's not. It's just your sort of pissy little visceral response to something. And the best response when somebody says I'm offended is just to go, well, so what? You know, there's lots of things that annoy lots of people, but we just have to put up with it. And I mean, I just find this idea of protecting people from something, it's like if you're over the age of 18, you don't need to be protected. What you need to do is develop a bit of a thicker skin. And, you know, there's lots of things I don't like. You know, I suppose I'm quite a grumpy individual. And there's lots of things that kind of irk me. But you just get on and go about your day. You don't let it get under you. You need to develop a sense of mental resilience. And I think the problem I have with trigger warnings is that they weaken any sense of mental resilience, because they say you don't need to be mentally resilient. You can actually be as fragile as you want, and we will work around your innate emotional fragility, which I think is completely the wrong way of approaching things.
Is there a danger, though, that by not changing the word in that song, again, the Shane McGowan song, that what you actually do is you kind of, you restrict people's access to that masterpiece, as you call it, because it won't get played as much on the radio, or certainly during the day, and, you know, a whole generation of children who might be singing Fairy Tale of New York won't hear it.
You take it all is or not at all. That's my take on it. And I just find the idea, anybody who likes music or books or anybody who has any interest in anything to do with the arts and to do with classics will be, I suppose it is the one thing I am offended by, is retrospective censorship of things. It was good enough then, it's good enough now, and just because people have decided. And you see, it's a form of control from people. And again, like when I was younger, the enemy.
But values change. You know, the idea of it was good enough then, it's good enough now. You know, society changes and values change. Just because it was good enough at a certain point in the past doesn't mean we should accept it today, does it?
Values don't change, fashions do. You know, and it's a case of who basically thinks they have the whip hand and who gets to control the culture. You know, if you get to control what people hear, what they read.
I don't know. Like, I mean, would you not say it's more than a fashion that maybe in kind of ancient Rome it was, you know, de rigueur to maybe marry your first cousin, and it's not a case that it's just gone out of fashion, is it?
That's a big leap, Kieran, from Fairy Tale in New York to marrying your cousin. Yeah, they also fed Christians the lines, which is something that has probably fallen out of fashion. No, I think just in general, what I find interesting, as somebody who kind of analyses the culture a lot, is how little things change, not how much they change. Because in the 70s and the 80s, and in the early parts of the 90s, before the 90s became the greatest decade any of us have ever seen, but in the 70s and the 80s particularly, the people who wanted to control things were religious conservatives. And the Mary Whitehouse Brigades.
Yeah.
And people like that. And now that's shifted onto a younger, more liberal cohort. Mm. And they're the ones who want to control things. But this goes to show that things don't change, because there will always be one section of society that wants to control what the rest of us can enjoy.
Kira, you guys don't sing Fairy Tale of New York as written always, do you?
Sorry, I misheard that. Say that again.
Do you guys sing Fairy Tale in New York as written always, or do you change a word?
Well, I was singing, it was actually, funny enough, I was singing it as written, and then it was actually someone in their 50s that came up to me and told me to, you know, change the word and suggested and said, did you hear about this? And I said, I actually didn't hear about the argument on that. So I think from my perspective, I think there's a perception maybe of my generation that everyone is a snowflake or super sensitive. And I think actually what it is that we're just becoming more aware of emotions in Ireland. And I think we're looking at how are we affecting people around us by our words. And I think, again, if it depends how you engage in a conversation, body language is a lot of it. But I think there just is a change maybe coming in society of where actually we're becoming more aware of unconsciously what's happening when we're hearing words in certain environments. But I will say one thing. What is amazing about looking back at shows from the 90s and the 80s that are unfiltered is it is a snapshot in time of culture and representation of what's happening back then in terms of the world of language, how they interact with one another. So from the historic and kind of as a study of an era and the changes that we've gone through in terms of language and culture and how we communicate with one another, I think my generation are fascinated by that. And we're always looking to find a middle ground that is equal for everybody.
Well, listen, Kira, thanks a million for joining us again. Kira Lawless, the singer and songwriter, Ian O'Doherty, columnist with the Irish Independent. Ian, thank you as well. What's wrong with being offended? It doesn't hurt them or put them in hospital. Get over it and move on, says one listener. For God's sake, says somebody else, there are people out there robbing and killing and getting away with murder and many, many other law-breaking things, and they're giving out about hurting someone's feelings. Get over it. This is life. Tim says, I pity the new generation and having no sense of humour. Somebody else says, why is it always middle-aged, middle-class white men deciding people shouldn't get offended? And another listener, I miss Little Britain and the like. Satire is needed now more than ever to examine our society and expose prejudice. It has to be said, far more people in agreement with Ian O'Doherty and the need to abandon the trend of trigger warnings.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.